Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Diane B., and I am a recovered compulsive eater from New York. Today is Tuesday, February 21st, 2023. This is the 10 a.m. meeting, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And I am your moderator. Oh, no, we did that. Today we are reading from the Big Book, page 62, third paragraph. Starting with, this is the how and why of it, ending with triumphant arch through which we pass to freedom. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Rhonda R. The text on page 62 is Penny L.C. Page 164, our book is meant to be suggestive only, is Yvonne A. Our backup reader today is Shelley E. Our newcomer greeter is Loretta M. And our announcements are going to be done by Reggie O. Thank you, everyone, for your service. So we have reference numbers. Let's see. Yesterday, Monday, February 20th of 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the number is 19,979. This morning's meeting, Tuesday, February 21st, 2023, at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the number is 19,981, which is 19981. All right, OA preamble. Excuse me, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Joanne L., will you please read us the steps?
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island. Diane B., thank you for your service, and everybody on the line today, especially the newcomers. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. In 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne. And now I will ask Rhonda R. Please read the 12 traditions for us.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service. Diane, my name is Rhonda R., a grateful member in Georgia. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today, and I will pass.
Thanks, Rhonda. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and we request that you do not use the speaker function, as that creates background noise. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 62. We're on the third paragraph, beginning with "This is the how and why of it." So let's see. Penny LC, will you get us started, please?
Yes. Thank you, Diane. Thank you for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter, in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal, we are his agents. He is the father, and we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom. And I love the fact that in this book, I'm given instructions on basically how to do life and to do it in a different way than I've tried to do it before I came to program, because it never worked. And I'm given instructions. It's so helpful. You know, I'm told, first of all, shoot, the bad news. I have to quit playing God. But I thought I was so good at it, right? Not really. But I thought I could figure out what everybody else needed and how they should be living their lives, all the while deflecting from how poorly I was living my life. And I just figured I could probably rule the world if everybody would just listen to my great ideas. But since I have to quit doing that, because I'm not God and never have been, and it didn't work. And I proved that to myself as I, you know, was miserable and discontent with life. So then what do I know? I know that the good news is I get to choose a power greater than myself that will support me, protect me, and guide me. My job is to find a connection that works for me to an entity that I choose. It's my choice to find a relationship that allows me to decide to surrender my power. There are examples given, but what is it that I can relate to? I get to choose. Other ideas may be teacher, coach, source, director, supervisor, CEO, etc. Whatever it is that will work for me that I can surrender. I learn how to release my, I learn how my release from my addiction and more so my spiritual malady, my brokenness, and my unmanageability is based on my close relationship with this power that I choose. This is a crucial element that will lead me to my freedom. So what is this keystone? It's the arch, the middle stone in the arch up above in the very center that is the locking stone required to hold the structure up in place. And that's what having a higher power that works for me is, that keystone to my recovery, to my freedom. So I'm grateful to have my instructions outlined here for how to have higher powers help and why this is the critical element to my transformation. I'm grateful to have this awareness today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny. Wow, that was perfect timing. Okay, let's see. Now we're going to be ready to take names of people who would like to share. Give me your name and the initial of your last name, and and I'm ready to go take them now. Thank you.
Jana C. from Tennessee.
Jana C.
Amanda A. California.
Amanda A. And somebody was before you. Who was that?
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. Got it.
Veronica B.
And the E.
All right, wait. Say it again slowly, please.
Veronica.
Veronica. Okay, got it. And who was the other person?
Deb E.
Deb E. Okay. So far I've got Jana, Kathleen, Amanda, Veronica, and Deb. All right, let's get going with that. So we're going to start with Jana C. Thank you, Jana.
Good morning. This is Jana C., recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Thanks for everyone who has read and everyone being of service and for leading the meeting. This is a how and a why that we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Well, that's the reason why I don't play God. Well, the thing is I didn't realize I was playing God. I thought I was just doing what I was supposed to do. I didn't understand. And one of the cool things about, like, this paragraph, when we look at it from the perspective that I think the writers were intending, it's basically saying we don't have to play God anymore. You know, we don't have to do what doesn't work anymore. It says, you know, we get to decide that hereafter in this drama of life that God is going to be my director. Well, the God that I thought was out to punish me and all of this and that and the other or whatever, all these old ideas that I had, you know, hopefully by this time I've set those aside and be willing to look at this God thing in an entirely different angle, that maybe this God is kind and loving. And I'm willing to believe that, you know, he is a kind and loving God, like the third step talks about, that he will provide what I need if I keep close to him and perform his work well. And, you know, all that little mustard seed of faith has to look like is I'm willing to take your word for it. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to fully believe it. But I'm willing to accept it because I'm dying of compulsive overeating and I can't do this anymore. So if you're telling me I'm playing God and that's the cause of my problems, okay, I'm willing to believe that. Okay, now where is that panning out? And I get to do that and look at that as I go through the rest of the steps and see that in that inventory process. And so I get to look at that God is going to be my director, that God is the principal, that I'm his agent. So I don't have to figure out my life anymore. I get to do what this God of my understanding has me to do. You know, he is the father and we are his children. I had my father died when I was young. I felt fatherless my whole life. I felt like I've had no direction my whole life. I feel like I've always had to figure it all out, and I never could. And you're telling me now all of a sudden I've got a father? I don't even know what that looks like or how to even adapt to that, because it scares, even the concept of it scares me. But I'm willing to accept it, you know. And it says most, the cool thing here is that the most good ideas are the simple ones, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch. So you mean I don't have to overcomplicate and make it hard? So the simple ideas are the good ones now. So that change in perspective helps me, and I'm so grateful that I get to look at it this way. Oh, I don't have to worry about this. And it almost seems lazy in my head anyway, because I'm such a go-getter. But my self-propulsion is what causes all the anxiety and the agitation and the restless, irritable, and discontent. And whenever I'm feeling like that, somewhere along the line, I've adopted an idea somewhere that I got to rely on myself in my own
just
will.
Just a reminder.
Yes, ma'am, to make things happen. But the cool thing is in those moments, I get to turn back to that God of my understanding, and I get to quit playing God. Because it has happened. It's going to happen. And the steps are lifelong things. So anyway, thanks for allowing me to share, and I hope you all have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Shanna. I'm sorry I messed up your name. Oh, well. Next, we have Kathleen O. And what state are you from, Kathleen?
Sorry, I'm muting. This is Kathleen O from California. Thank you. Oh, what a great paragraph, action-packed. The how, the why, playing God, drama, freedom. There's a lot of power in this program. And hold on one second. I'm sorry. I apologize. I always wanted to run the show. I had this horrible habit. I was just kind of bossy, you know. I wanted to tell everybody what to do, and I always had jobs where I could, and I didn't do it very nicely sometimes. I thought I knew better. I knew better than anybody else. And if they just followed my directions, everything would be fine. So, you know, this program is telling us how to stop playing God and why. Because when I do, the drama happens. And when the drama happens, what happens? But I get resentful. And I have all sorts of resentments. I get selfish, self-seeking. I do all those things that the bottom line makes me miserable. So the freedom comes from realizing I didn't create this world. I don't need to run it. I need to do the best I can, be of service, be kind, be helpful, be patient, be tolerant, and not get my feelings hurt. Because I don't think anyone's intentionally ever trying to hurt my feelings. Yesterday was my grandson's birthday. He was 8, and I wanted to talk to him. And so I called his mom, and who's my stepdaughter, and she didn't answer. So I texted her to ask her to call when she could. And then, you know, the day went by, and I thought, I'm not going to get resentful over this, you know. I may or may not be able to talk to him. So I made him a video and sent it to her and just let it go. It's like, you know, she's got a busy life. It was his birthday. They were doing a lot. And they did call in the evening. So, you know, to not get upset by little tiny things like that anymore, or even the big stuff that I can't control. I just turn it over to my higher power, trust and rely, and that's where I get the happiness, joy, and freedom. And today, I choose joy over resentments, and I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathleen. Next, we have Amanda A. from California. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Amanda A., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California, actually traveling right now in Arizona. But this paragraph is so wonderful. Such a gift that I am up this morning and was able to log on and come to this. First of all, we had to quit playing God. This is a huge, huge one. I've been throughout my entire life. I've always wanted to control things. Even now, even recovered in this program, I am trying to play God. I'm trying to blame other people or situations for my self being discontent. And it doesn't work, and it never will work. It's so interesting because I'm out here for a couple weeks for work, and this is my first couple of days, and I started feeling really resentful last night. And I did my 10th step, I did a two-way prayer, and what was so beautiful in this was that God spoke to me very, very quickly, and he told me that it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what state, what country, whatever, I'm always going to be with you, and wherever you are, that's where your home's going to be, and I will be with you. And that is just, I'm very, very grateful for that, because, you know, I started to feel myself falling into some old behaviors, and that is my own will trying to come in. So when I was able to stop doing that and give it over to God, I wake up this morning and I feel like myself again, which is so beautiful. I'm just so grateful to have this call and all of these fellows in a vision for you and throughout the rooms. And with that, I will pass this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amanda. Veronica, would you please give us the initial of your last name and your state, please, when you introduce yourself?
Good morning. I am Veronica B., like boy, recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California, and thank you for your service. The how and the why of it. Going to tell me and give me a suggestion of how I can have freedom in my life if I do this, if I come to accept in my heart that what my problem is that I think I am God. I think my whole life, I behaved in a manner where if you didn't do what I wanted you to do, I must not be good enough, you must not love me. I had all these old ideas of what it was, what my problem was, and how I behaved selfish and self-centered, and how I would practice self-will. And this is telling me that my problem is because I want to be in charge. And how does this look? I make demands on others, and they cannot keep up with my demands, so it's going to strain my relationship with them. Or I give you unsolicited advice, and that comes off like I am a know-it-all, and that I must know what's best for you. And this pushes people away. And then I wonder why I have trouble with personal relations. Why am I having trouble with others? Why am I having a hard time getting along with others? Because I push them away from my need to be a bully, to impose my way on them. It's not letting people be who they want to be and live their life how they want to live. Nobody wants a friend like that. I certainly wouldn't want a friend like that. And that's what it is. That's what it looks like to play God. You know, me thinking I know best, and then I'm going to treat you accordingly, right? And that pushes people away. And then it causes me a lot of pain and suffering. And then I feel like a victim. I feel like, poor me, poor me. People don't like me. and but I'm a compulsive eater, right? So I have to get a God of my understanding to replace this need for me to try to control and manage people. And I have to just rely on that God and trust that however the day is unfolding, then that's God's will for me. You know, my job today is just to wake up, ask God to help me do his will, and show me where he wants me to be and how he wants me to be. And this is very hard. It's very hard for me. It's not in my nature to, like, just let God run my day, guide me, you know. This is a program. This way of living is a program. Trusting in God and having faith is a practice. And this is why I keep coming to hear the message and the solution, and that I'm not in charge today. And I got to get out of my own way. I got to get out of my own way so that I can let God in and let God do his work, right? That's what it's telling me. And I am absolutely grateful to be recovered today and living in the sunlight of the Spirit and trusting in God. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Veronica. Next, we have Deb E. And if you could just tell us where you're from, please, when you introduce yourself. Thank you.
Thanks. Hi, it's Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Israel. I like how simple this paragraph is. It's like, it doesn't work for me to play God. What plays God, what works is for me to let God do his job. And it's just, it's again, like so much of this program, simple but not easy. You know, it was a very foreign concept to me when I first started working the steps to just surrender my life to a higher power. I had no idea I was trying to be in charge and in control of my life. Like, I had no idea that was not the only way to do things. I had no concept of, like, surrendering and asking for guidance. And, like, all of that stuff was really foreign to me, not part of my life. And it's so much simpler to live that way. You know, I get impatient and I want answers sooner and I forget and I take back my will and, you know, but I have these reminders, and that's why I like rereading this literature over and over to be reminded. And I remember when it like first sunk in that I was actually playing God by behaving the way I was, I felt so, it was like shocking to me, and it was also, I had this feeling like, how could I? Like, I never would have intentionally thought I knew better than God. Like, saying it in that way sounded so awful to me. But it really helped me get clear on what I was doing when it was, you know, when I could understand it that way, that if I was refusing to follow guidance from my higher power and I was refusing to surrender and give over my will, then I was essentially saying that I knew better. And that didn't resonate with me, and that sounded all wrong. And I think that was part of what helped me have the willingness to try this out. And I had something else I wanted to say, but I can't remember it now. So I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb E. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you have shared yesterday or Friday, please step back and let somebody else have a chance. I'm ready to take people's names. Star one to unmute.
Christy M.
Christy M.
Chevy F.
Who? F.
Chevy, S-H-E-V-Y, Chevy.
Thank you. And your last initial was what?
F as in fish.
Thank you.
Chris Sharp, Washington. Chris F, Washington.
Chris F. Okay, thank you. I have Christy, Chevy, and Chris. Anybody else? Star one to unmute. Give us your name, please. Okay. We'll start with Christy M. And, okay, Sue Ann. Wait a minute. Sue Ann. And who was after that?
Sure.
I'm sorry. I could not understand you.
Sue Ann. D, as in David, New York.
Okay. I thought there was somebody after you, Sue Ann. Thank you for that information. Was there somebody after Sue Ann? Okay. Christy M., if you could just give us your state when you share, please. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Christy. I'm grateful, recovering overeater, bulimic, and anorexic from Oregon. And just thank you for everybody's service this morning and being in the meeting. Really, I would say this concept that we're talking about from the reading about really turning things over to God has been probably the thing I've struggled the most with. I think intellectually, I understand that there is a power greater than myself. I think I understand that my life will work better if I can turn my will and my control over to the care of a higher power. I can clearly look at my life and say, when I'm trying to run the show myself, it doesn't go so well, because that's what brought me here to this program. And so I know all those things intellectually, and yet in like practice of life, I so quickly and easily take control again. I so easily and quickly try to become the director. And it's so subtle. It is so automatic. And it's this, I've heard this good, you know, analogy of a tug of war, right? Like when you're having a tug of war, this struggle for control, and there's this tension, the best way, all you have to do to relieve the tension is just want somebody has to drop the rope. Right? And it has to be this decision every single day that I get up and decide, like, I'm going to drop the rope today. Like, I'm not going to wrestle with life. I'm not going to try to, you know, make things the way I think they should be. And when I look at the end of my day, when I'm feeling, you know, we talk about like restless, irritable, all those kind of negative feelings, you know, I can look back and say that all of that has to do with something that I'm not willing to accept, some part of my life or aspect of my day that I didn't like the outcome of. And I realize when I'm feeling that way, it's because I have these expectations of wanting things my way and wanting things to look a certain way. And so this is an area that takes so much practice for me to do, and my sponsor likes to call it the three-step dance. Is I can't, first just admitting that, you know, I can't run the show. At the end of the day, the only thing I have control of is myself, and I don't really even have control over that. That's why I'm in OA, right? Is I've lost control of my eating, so I can't. God can. That the only person who can do some of these things is my higher power, and I'll let him. And then she calls it the three-step waltz or the three-step dance of just remembering that I have to go through this every day. And one of the things I like about the program that we talk about is that, you know, we have a 24-hour spiritual reprieve. So I go to this meeting today, and I'm talking about turning my life and will. And, like, I know that sounds like a great – I know I need to do it.
Gentle
and,
reminder.
Thank you. I'll wrap up. It doesn't put like 7 days in the bank for me. So it's a start today, and it's a practice I have to engage in throughout the day and continue to stay in fit spiritual condition. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Thanks, Christy. Next, we have Chevy F, I believe. If you could tell me what's the initial of your last name? Chevy?
F as in Francis.
Francis. And what is your state, please?
New Jersey.
Thank you. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Okay. Thank you, Chevy.
So it's really great to be in this meeting, and I'm just very grateful for everyone on here and all the amazing shares. I still call myself pretty new to this particular meeting, and I'm really loving it. The how and why. I mean, I think the how was a game changer, because I grew up ever since before I was born. We were all, you know, religious. I mean, all the concepts aren't new, but the how to live by that, how to truly, you know, be able to surrender, be able to live with God in my life. I mean, that's what program is giving me, the how, the tools to reach for, the fellowship, the, you know, the meetings, the, also it's all in theory and up there until it filters down to my heart and into my being. So until I didn't learn how to do that with the food, with the problem in my life, and with the other problems in my life, it just was all nice and good, but very far. So, you know, something as simple like just an hour ago wanting to go for a second coffee, which is okay, I can, but realizing that I just want something to soothe me and just checking in and being like, is that really what I need? So, you know, that to me is just a gift, you know, God doing for me what I could never do for myself. And that goes with every little decision in my day. So one thing that I'm learning recently is that, you know, just being really cognizant of that constant wanting to run the show, wanting to, and that's what makes me really human. And learning to be really vulnerable in my relationship with God and kind of stepping back and saying, oh, God, okay, let me give that to you. I was, like, tugging a bit too hard. So I don't anymore, I'm trying not to kind of shame and blame and come from a place of negativity. Oh, no, there I go, all these expectations, all this, all the anxiety, whatever it is. Not being afraid, because I just, that's sort of, I see it as the humility, you know, the humility piece of this is, you know, God wants me. He wants to have a relationship with me. He made me human. There's the ego always coming in, wanting to have me, you know, take control. So when I notice it, it's always a chance and opportunity to step back and surrender. So that's basically what I wanted to share. And that's why ego, edging God out. I mean, I love that acronym because it's like edging God out. It slowly kind of pushes him away slightly. And I just need to step back and let it come back, you know, let God step back in. So he's like always waiting there for me. It's just a matter of, do I show up? Thank you. Am I present with him? It's like he's always waiting there. He's there. And I just have to kind of, you know, take a moment to bring myself back into that space. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Chevy. Next, we have Chris S. from Washington.
Good morning. What a simple, complete sentence. I am not God. And, you know, every day I'm thinking more and more that I am not. You know, trying to be the director, trying to be in control, trying to fix this, trying to do that. You know, it works for a while. It gives me my status, my time in the limelight, and then something goes haywire. And then I'm back in there trying to refix whatever went haywire, and now there's retaliation from the other side, and my life just goes down a black hole. I am so grateful to have this program where, you know what, to practice that how and why. How, let God direct my life. Let me follow God's direction. And the why, I just want that joyous, happy, and free. And by practicing these steps, by giving it all to God, by leaving whatever I need to leave in God's hands, you know, works so well for me. Letting go and letting God is a slogan in my life. And the way I have to do that, to remind myself, is trust my higher power. Trust God, clean my house, and help others. And with that, I pass. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for being there for me.
Thank you, Chris. Now we have Sue Ann D. from New York. Star one to unmute, please.
Hi.
Sue Ann. There you are. Great.
I'm Sue Ann D. from New York. I've been in program for about 18 years. It has helped me enormously. with much of what's discussed in this paragraph. However, when it comes to my food, I just hold on and maintain what I pretend is control, but it's not control at all. And I am the heaviest that I've ever been. I'm a diabetic, and I know I need help. I know I need to follow the steps of the program, because without it, I am just going to destroy my life. And so today I got back to vision. I took a few months hiatus and was not helpful to me at all. And I'm glad to be back. And I'm looking for a sponsor. Thank you. Thank you for all being here, because I knew I had a place to come back to where I could get some sanity. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Okay, so we still have time for a few more shares. I will take your name and the initial of your last name. We have time for maybe, let me see, about two, maybe three, depending on how long you speak.
Annabelle.
Anybody else would like to share? Okay, Annabelle.
Sophia M. And that's M.
Hold on. Annabelle, was that Sophia? And Anemone.
Oh, go ahead. Annabelle first.
Yes, I have Annabelle, Sophia, Annette. Is that correct?
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Okay, Annabelle, what's the initial of your last name, please?
Yes, hello. This is Annabelle Z, as in zebra, from Washington State.
Good morning. Keep going.
Oh, okay, great. Good morning. I wasn't going to share this morning. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered in Washington. I wasn't going to share. I just, everything is... everything in the last several days, and of course what we're going to come up reading, and I'm like, well, I might as well just share now, because I've been doing a lot of self-reflecting in the last several weeks, and just getting into a new layer of, you know, realizing how much self-centered fear I live on, and that is why I try to put, I mean, I would never say it was playing God, but if I'm trying to make people do things I want them to do, and to make things happen that I want to have happen, I'm playing God, because that's what God does. And it's just so amazing when I write, and God, I do two-way prayer, and God writes back to me, and it's like, you know, his answer is basically like, trust me, just trust me. My plan is better than your plan. And I'm, you know, it's amazing that I read that last sentence, the concept of God being God and me not being God. It's the keystone, or the most important one that holds everything together. That one at the top, where if it was removed, everything crumbles. And it happens to me over and over and over again. And at least it feels like the walls are crumbling. And then I go, oh, I'm trying to make everything happen my way again. And I love what somebody said about, like, but my way's right, you know, or... anyway, where I just really relate to everything everybody shared about the trying to make things happen because I'm an achiever. Someone said, because I'm a go-getter, I'm a doer. And it just, like, it sounds lazy to me to just not do anything, but really it's not claw at everything. And I can take action, but not worry so much about the outcome. Like, God goes, you know, I can take action and he can say, well, I don't like that action, and then make a door close. And I don't have to fight it anymore. So that what that does is freedom. So it's the keystone of the arch that we pass through to freedom. And I always say to new sponsees, I say it all the time, that do you want to be thin or do you want to be free? Because for me, the freedom is worth way more than being thin. I was nuts when I was thin. So I'm just right where I am, and I'm free. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Annabelle. We have time now for Sophia and Annette, if you each take like 2 minutes. So, Sophia. Star one.
Sorry about
unmute.
That. Yes.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Sophia M. from Los Angeles, California, and I'm a newcomer. I am at the very beginning of this. I know that, God, I was, I'm terrified, right? I'm terrified, and I'm anxious. I'm experienced with the 12 steps, and I'm going to keep it at this. But, you know, I suffer from multiple illnesses, and this has been my biggest. And surrendering to God, like, I just appreciate everyone here. I appreciate knowing you're here. I was recommended by a friend, and it's beautiful. I had a big breakthrough by listening to one of your special editions the other day, and sometimes you can hear the same thing over and over and over again, you know, and then you hear it in a different way from somebody, and it could just be one word change and shift, and all of a sudden it's that aha moment, and that's God, you know, that's God coming in. And all I know at this point is that I know nothing. And like so many of you beautiful ladies already said, you know, when I surrender to God, knowing I'm not God, knowing that my plan is not better than God's plan, you know, God's plan is always better. And the moment that I surrendered to just being so exhausted by myself, God's come in. Immediately. And sometimes it's just little, you know, little signs or little windows and little shifts. And again, I'm at the very beginning of this, and it is a terrifying, terrifying concept. But at the same time, like what this beautiful woman just said, you know, it's so much easier. I just don't care anymore. I really don't care anymore. I just want to be free. And I appreciate your service. I appreciate you having me. And I really look forward to continuing this journey and being a part of this fellowship. So I hope you all have a beautiful day. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sophia. We will have an opportunity for newcomers to introduce themselves. So I hope that you will stay on the line for that. And Annette, I'm so sorry, but we ran out of time. Yeah, it was a great meeting. Thank you, everyone. Okay, where am I? Here we go, sorry. So we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. And I do want to thank everybody who shared today and everyone who did service. We'll read that page. We'll follow it up with the Serenity Prayer. So will Yvonne A. please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.